you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your mom's ass. Big J kills them like OJ Simpson. A quick, if the fingerless glove don't fit, get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the club.
What's up, everybody? It is the Legion of Skanks podcast coming to you from our Zoom episode. I'm your host, Big J. Okerson. The Skanks are all here. We got Davey Smith.
It's an honor and a privilege.
Thank you. And of course, we got the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Louis J. Gomez.
What's up, bitch?
Whoa. That's not good energy at all.
How's that not good energy? I didn't say it wasn't like bitch, like pussy. Like, what up, little bitch? It was like, what up, bitch?
What's up, bitch?
What's up, bitch? Oh,
you meant it in like a 90s rap kind of way.
Oh, I thought you meant more like in a Sex in the City, calling your girlfriend to go out kind of thing. Come on, bitch.
Yeah, the way you would kind of like, we're mocking women, you know.
Oh, I thought you were saying we were like video hoes, kind of.
No, no, we're making fun of women and their stupid bullshit.
I can get on board with that.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to see you, boys. I did not get the memo for the white shirts today.
Yeah, dude. We all said we were going to wear white hoods, and but I showed up in proper attire, and the whole staff freaked out on me. So here I am in my rap hoodie.
Actually, the irony is, you and Dave are also both wearing hoods. They're just not up.
Yeah, it's like a wink and a nod.
Your clan downtime.
I'm fucking casual clan.
Yeah, it can't all be clanning. You know what I mean? What about the rest of the day?
Dude, I don't know what's going on. Can I say my headphones? Dude, there's a ghost in my house right now.
Totally. No, Louis, that's just your hood from your clan outfit.
No, dude. No. Oh, my God. It's on my back. Doug, no. Doug, look.
Louis.
This is crazy. It's right. So my volume
Louis. It's right behind you.
Dude, the volume keeps going down on my headphone, like on my thing. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. But every time it goes down, I fucking have to go raise it physically with my hand, meaning that it feels like a ghost keeps on coming in and actually physically. This is not an electronic thing. Is my hood hitting it?
Satan's your master.
I think my hood's hitting it. It was technically the hood the whole time.
A lot of times there are real world explanations for these supernatural phenomenon. So
you have to kill the president.
Dude, do you understand? All right, fine. Maybe it was just a real world explanation, but it freaked me the fuck out, dude. Because I was like, why is my volume going down? And then it go, and it would be physically down. Like, you know,
why don't you bump your hood over to your right a little bit so it's out of the way of the thing? It's all bunched up over there.
Why don't you bump my cock into your mouth?
What's your thing with emotions, Louis? Why do you run from emotion?
I'm sorry, bitch.
It was a friend helping a friend out. It's fucking crazy.
I'm sorry, bitch. I know I'm getting fucking uppity right now. No,
you're so close.
Not you, bitch. Not you. It's not your fault, bitch.
Not your fault, bitch. not you, fault, bitch. Don't, bitch. Not you.
Oh, fuck me, dude.
Not your fault, bitch. It's not your fault, bitch.
Good Louis hunting.
Good Gomez hunting.
Oh my god, boys. What is this orthodontist who was charged for soliciting minors for nude photos and possessing child pornography?
Yeah, why don't you just knock him unconscious with the NOS and take the pictures, dude? What are you asking like an idiot? That's how you get in trouble.
Yeah.
Moron.
Let's see this guy. Orthodontist charge after allegedly. All right. So a Michigan orthodontist is facing criminal charges after allegedly soliciting sexually explicit photos and videos from a minor in North Carolina and possessing child pornography in digital storage. Thomas
41
Shannon.
Years old. Multiple felonies, aggravated possession of child sexually abusive material, using a computer to commit a crime, and possession of child pornography. He has been contacting minors for sexually explicit photos and videos going back to 2019. That's not that long ago. He's pretty new to the game.
Yeah, he's new. But also, let me say, so is it the nudes of the 17-year-old girl? Like, is that what they're saying? Is this child porn, or did he also have child porn in addition to contacting the 17-year-old girl?
They don't make it clear that he got them. No, it does
say. No, it does say. Up to the more, it says he had possession of child pornography and digital storage, so he had stuff already of underage girls.
Yeah, he had stuff, and then he was trying to get the 17-year-old girl. It's not clear that he got them.
I think he got put on the radar. He got put on the radar by her, and then now they
found shit on his computer. Yeah.
What is the what's the equivalent of like Gator for pedophiles? Because I feel like I have that.
Pedar?
I think I have Pedar. I think I could tell when somebody's a pedophile. I'm like, this guy's definitely a pedo. Dude, I knew it. I knew it.
I fucking knew it.
Yeah. You know.
Well, I argue that anybody who wants to like genuinely be a coach for a girl sports that's a guy is a pedophile.
Likely.
I mean, if your daughter's not on that team, what is the reason?
Right, exactly.
If your daughter's on the team, is that not like the perfect excuse to be able to go hang out with hot teen athletes?
By the way,
though?
By the way, Isabella's soccer coach when she was little.
She was like, I'll do it.
No. It was another girl on the team. Her dad was the coach. But especially the gymnastics one. I mean, obviously there's so many documentaries about it now that's out there, but if you want to like work, it's like absolutely women can coach other women in gymnastics. You don't have to have a guy, a 40 some year old guy doing it.
I mean, if they're the best, if you want to be the best at whatever you're doing, you probably wanted to have a guy doing it. So like, how serious are you?
I don't know.
By the way, that's actually a genuine response. I know it sounds like I'm being like sexist. I'm not. My assumption is the best coaching in the world in sports is probably comes from men in whatever sport.
I don't think so.
If you want your girl to go to the Olympics, you want her to be like the absolute best.
No, Lewis, it's not sexist. It's you're saying you want the best coach, male or female, but like 99% of the time that will end up being a man.
If you looked into it, I'm sure.
You're thinking a coach? I think in a coach of a sport depends on the sport, obviously, and stuff. But I do think a coach for women's gymnastics, you could have all female coaches and be the best in the world.
So has it ever been done?
Coaching is.
I mean, I don't know. If you look at the look up the percentage of Olympics male to female
coaches,
gymnastic coaches, and I bet you, just across the board, there's way more men.
There definitely is. But
what supports your case that you could just be as good with a woman? Then
you're going to be out there with the gymnastics team coached by a woman. All the girls are out there getting ready to compete, knowing that even if they fuck up, they're not going to get raped for it. You think they're going to be as motivated? They're going to be as motivated as our team?
Yeah, he goes, let me tell you what really makes girls win gold. Rape, the threat of rape. The looming threat of rape.
How many fun balance beam jokes can you make to your team?
I think in the idea of sports strategy and knowledge of it, I don't think it makes a difference.
I completely disagree.
I don't understand enough about gymnastics to even know. Like, it seems to me that coaching would be like, run really fast, do three loop-de-loops, and then land perfectly on your feet.
Listen, if the Sixers started being coached by a woman tomorrow, I'd have my thoughts. I'm just saying, technically, I understand that she could probably there's an opportunity for her to be able to do just as good. There's nothing holding her back.
Jay, we understand you're trying to fucking get a TV show or something right now. Women are just as good as men. Fine, everyone. Fine. Buddy, Jay's got an opportunity.
I wrote one TV show with my friends years ago, and I'll never do it again. It was the most emotional roller coaster I've ever been a part of. I'm a broadcaster.
We're still going to sell that thing.
I just told my agent they sent me a Disney audition. And
Tom was telling me this today.
Yeah, no, and literally they go, they want you. They ask for you for this role, right? Like the casting of like likes your thing.
Nice.
And I called them up and had a very serious conversation. I was like, dude, I was like, I can't do Disney. I was like, it's like look, Louis C.K. writes a TV show or some other canceled rapist, D'Elia comes out with a new TV show, I'll jump on board in a heartbeat.
You're perfect for it.
But Disney's not gonna be the path. It's just not going to happen.
Guys, you hear Air India slammed for systematic failure after unruly male passenger flying business class urinated on a woman traveling from New York?
Wait, what is the story now? Hold on. What is really the story?
Air India is in trouble for systematic failure after an unruly male passenger flying business class urinated on a woman traveling from New York.
I guess it's just the way that like the algorithms work now and the way that like news media sites pick things up, but they have to look how long the headline is. Whatever happened to the art of writing like a good, like kind of fun, punny, you know, headline that like just grabbed you real quick. Like they do this now because they know that like every word has to be tracked on Google and they're trying to get people to click on certain things. So it's like him flying business class has nothing to do with it. Like it doesn't actually really fucking matter.
Well,
at all.
I mean, I will say that
for the headline,
I expect a little bit better from business class.
Pissing at 30,000 feet. That's what.
Yes, exactly. Or it would be like, passenger pissy 7.
And
I'll be honest, that's an excellent title. You could work for the New York Post, but it was really like the New York Post that did shit like that. Most newspapers didn't have.
Dude,
those.
It was so fucking funny, dude. They would have great.
They would still say, urinating man causes stir on flight.
You're right. This is a long, wordy title for sure.
Air India slammed for systemic failure after.
You shouldn't have to throw up quotes in your read.
I mean, I just want to like go back and just appreciate how great Passenger Pisty 7 was. Like that was an unbelievable title.
Such a random
movie to even remember. Yeah. It's like, you guys remember Wesley Snipes?
Well, there's not many airplane movies.
Snakes in a Plane.
Yeah, there's so many airplane movies.
How many airplane movies are? Well, there's Airplane 2. Fine. 2.
Oh yeah.
There's
that'd be fun. Snake on a Plane.
How many airplane movies? Snakes on a Plane. Hootie Tang, was that about an airplane?
No, you're thinking of Soul Plane,
whatever, dude. Same shit. Dude, I'm so racist that I even think black movies look alike.
He goes, that was Juice, right? He goes, it was Boys in the Hood. Yeah, sure.
No, stop. Don't just pull them up, dickhead. I wanted to see if we could remember them.
Man, Air Force One, I said.
Black
before.
Movies in the 90s, though, really were the shit. I loved
every one of them, guys. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Did you watch all of them, Lewis?
Dave, mentioned black movies. Yeah. He has to go take a moment.
Do you remember how violent and fucking they were when we were younger? They were the best.
Yeah.
Did you watch all those, like Boys in the Hood, Juice, Menace to Society? I thought Menace to Society was like scary.
Yeah.
Loved that movie.
I loved it too. But I'm not saying
it would hold up, but I loved it at the time.
I liked when they, like the hood movies got to be so big that it became almost like something you'd parody. So they did like Leprechaun in the Hood.
Oh yeah.
Don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
Which, by the way, great. Funny. Of those scary movie kind of things like that, those slapsticks, that was a really good one.
I don't think I ever actually saw it.
It's pretty funny.
It was great where the son's being the son's reading the father a bedtime story.
It's such a racial, like racist humor. It's his dad is younger than him. He has to read bedtime stories to his dad.
That was great.
That was the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah. Yep. When they, you know what, Bobby, if it's almost worth finding, if you do the scene, do you know the scene from Boys in the Hood? You should almost show that first when Trey, do you remember Boys in the Hood, Lewis?
I do, but it's like I haven't watched like all of those movies. You know, talked about them so many times, but like, you know, the college campus one,
Higher Learning.
Bobby, find the scene from Boys in the Hood when Trey is like swinging punches when he comes back to his girlfriend's house. It should be easy to find. But the way they parody that is going to make you laugh.
So
Lewis, you're going to laugh so hard at this. I'm so happy you haven't.
I haven't seen. I watched most of these movies when I was, I don't know what it was, up until I was maybe 20 years old, I didn't really pay attention to movies. Because anytime I watch a movie now from before, I was like, there's so much that I missed. It's fucking absolutely wild. Like, just massive.
I feel like that's when I paid attention to movies, and then I fucking, like, now there'll be movies I'm, like, completely unaware of. But back then, it was like, movies.
I'm talking about not paying attention to movies like the popular movie coming out. I'm talking about while watching a movie.
I'm really paying
attention to it. Like now I watch it and I go like I get it all, right? Whatever it was when I was a kid, like I just don't remember any of the movies until I see them again. So I know that I've seen you know, all of these
movies. So you'd probably enjoy, have you shown James like The Goonies? Because those are fun ones. If you haven't seen those in a long time, those are fun to watch again.
Those are great to watch back. A lot of them are great. So the problem is with little kids now, and that the movies from the 80s and 90s, like TV has gotten so crystal clear. Every new movie, like high def,
they look shitty. Yeah, they look
so shitty. And I think on a really big TV, like at a 58-inch TV, whatever the fuck it is, like it looks particularly shitty. And I think it just takes the kids out of it. So they don't have the attention span for some of those old movies the same way that,
It is true. We had such small TVs that we didn't even really give a shit about our fucking picture quality being so bad.
Well, I'm also old enough to remember sometimes your picture quality wouldn't just be bad. It would actually be something where like you had to like fidget around with it to make it look good. Like, it would just start tracking, like foggy. Yeah, or just
if you had like a two-head VCR, you could like literally do. Oh my god, dude! Manually fixing the tracking on the VCR, this is how poor it was. When you buy the cheapest VCR at fucking
tracking button for sure, dude. You didn't have a line through the middle of the screen. You had to like manually move it,
and it never got perfect. It just got better.
As long as you got it closer to the top or closer to the bottom, you're like, okay, dude, pretty good here.
Can you imagine, dude, just watching something right now, a movie, and accepting, there's just going to be this line through the middle of it, but whatever. I can see the middle of the screen.
I don't remember what the difference is
between with music, too. What I used to have to go through to, like, get music. Do you know what I mean? If you wanted to make, like, a mix of music or something, what you had to do was
most of the tape players, right? So let's say this is even before CDs, you had to have a two-deck tape player. One side would have a record, one side wouldn't have record, so you'd play and record at the same time.
Yeah.
A lot of recording off the radio.
And recording off the radio
Sit there and wait for the song you were trying to get to come on. Man,
then, by the way, didn't care. The sound was never going to really thump or be crystal clear or loud the way.
I'm literally recording off of a FM radio onto an answering machine next to the speaker for the shitty radio. So the end result sounds crazy.
But it's like I was hearing the song in my Walkman the next day, and that's all.
You're hearing the main sound up front, you're hearing and then behind it, you're hearing dent. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, literally, I'm dun, not even saying dun, before dun. The song was coming on, if you just hit play and it didn't start for like 3 seconds, you would just hear 3 seconds of like, and then the music would come in over that.
Oh, God, it was all, but man,
it's and then when your tape, we're like,
and then when your tape would
generation.
Get snagged and you were fucked.
But we're like the last generation of people who like remember the before on demand world, like the world when it was just like, oh, you had to like wait for something.
We may have talked about this before, but I would have been in a dangerous place, I'd have to assume, with the access to porn, and even as much as porn, I'd say the access just to movies, like again, like every movie, because going to like the video store was like a thing, you know what I mean? Like the access, you could just lay back. And how fast or how little it's been in my life, or how short of a time it's been in my life, how much I still search through all of it, not knowing what the fuck I'm going to watch. Nothing seems right or good.
I'd say 50% of my television watching time, 50% of my television watching time is scrolling through Netflix or Amazon and not choosing, and then eventually landing on something that I'm going to fall asleep to because I got tired just scrolling.
I swear to God, it's almost my nightly thing. I look all over and come back to American Dad or Always Sunny because I just go, I'm putting this on to fall asleep to.
Yeah, dude. But so like even like I don't have like convenience, like somebody like me who has like really, really bad ADD, like I have like horrible ADD, like the things that have like become more convenient, they actually don't help with my ADD. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's me
like,
options.
I should be able to just like going to the video store. It was like something like about like going there, getting in the car, you're doing a task. It felt like you were truly doing something.
Also,
you know
do they even have a copy of the movie you wanted?
Yeah.
Sometimes it would be out and you were fucked
all the time.
When I was younger, I'd wait there sometimes a little bit. You know what I mean? Just hanging around the store and keep going back and like, did anybody return it?
I worked at Blockbuster for a hot minute and I would put the new movies aside for my mom.
Of course. Yeah. No, I think that's the nepotism you're supposed to have at a job like that.
That was one of my worst jobs.
You should be able to take limitless popcorn.
With popcorn that gives you like a brain like the Limitless pill?
Yeah.
What? I hated that job probably more than any other one. Maybe Hot Topic might have been worse than that.
How long was that?
Blockbuster was a couple months. Hot Topic was days.
My worst job ever, because it was a day, was UPS. It was what
I forgot that you were a UPS guy for a day.
It's what made me know that I was not cut out. Like, my job in life wasn't going to be like a laborious job, because UPS, when you first go to the training for it, they are selling you a bill of goods. And also said, coming from like where I came from, it was like, that was a job where they go, you can make like 80 grand a year being like UPS delivery guy.
But no, that was the job my mom would talk about as a kid. Like, that's one of these like highly sought after.
Yes.
Trash person position. So there's like trash people. Like,
also yeah. Trash like, person was a also city, a job that was like
a trash person, a garbage person.
Money.
That my family talked about, like, that's a good job. A job simply for York. The city, whatever the job is for the city. If you work for the city or work for the state, like, man, that is like, and that's the way my idiotic, small-minded family thought. That's as far as yeah. they could go in terms of setting goals, would be like $20 an hour, benefits, that's that. And that's as far as they dreamed. It's a yeah. sad thing.
Well, yeah. in my mind, it was almost looking into that, being like, is this the guy? Because I didn't know what I wasn't doing comedy or anything yet. So I was like, am I going to be?
But
like,
you had seen that Kevin James sitcom, and you were yeah. like, this guy's got it made.
But I was like,
the fact I dating a hot chick, I could do that.
It was sort of basically kind of decide like if I'm going to be a grunt or if I'm going to like try to do something like, you know, go to school or whatever, I guess. And I went there that one night, man. And the first job you have to, first thing you have to do is load trucks. Then if you eventually get up to sorting, and then it's something else. And then I think driver. And then the
job is like you're at like a warehouse, and then you pack trucks for them.
So you're not what it is. You're loading the 18 wheelers up, which are very, very long. And they put this conveyor belt through the middle of it. And what the training teaches you is all about building walls of boxes.
Sorry, I'm just imagining the conveyor belt coming with like chocolate. So it's like, I love Lucy, and Jay's like,
I've never even thought to do the sort of, and the you're not wrong. If you could find a video, probably, Bobby.
It's just
of,
Jay and Kevin Hart eating chocolates.
Building walls, the walls of boxes in the trucks. But they give you, I think, and I'm not exaggerating, like a list of 40 maybe zip codes that this truck is for, and every package that comes down you're supposed to manually look at it, I think scan it if it is one of those 40 zip codes, and then stack it and like build these walls moving forward to load this thing in. So as a one-man job, I don't know how anybody did it, because
so you're like tetrising boxes yeah. into a truck,
but you have to do stuff. And but every time you take, as soon as you pick up another box, there's one right behind it, and you're trying to look up the zip code for that one and build a wall. I'm telling you, you take the Lucy thing, they started falling in, then falling off the side of the thing.
Jay's covered in boxes.
I swear to you, they eventually just took me out of it, and they were like, you're good, and don't worry about it. And I helped somebody else finish it. And then we went, and then I went home, and I was like coughing up soot.
Is this it, Jay?
Yeah. I was coughing up soot, and it was just me by myself. And my mom told me she didn't even think I should go back. And I'm like, right, I'm going to go to college.
You're right, mom. I am too special for this job.
Yeah, yeah. You're a little boy. Yeah, there you go, dude. That's, you know, oh my God, dude. Do you know how fucking anxiety riddled that is?
Dude, that job is something that would, like, I would fucking hate.
This it seems you remember brutal.
Do you know what I
you're
said?
Trying to fight, you're trying to fight Jay. Your way up to the person throwing it down the slide.
Do you know when I just said that my least favorite job was Blockbuster? Do you know mm-hmm. why?
Why? Inventory?
Stacking the fucking boxes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Having to come out with like all, you have to take out all the videos on your arm like this, and you'd have to go put them on the wall. It was just this tedious thing that whatever it was, it made my blood boil to have to fucking do it. I just hated it.
Yeah,
it was a similar thing when I would fold t-shirts at Hot Topic. Put on there's a folding board. We have to fold it perfectly. Some people do something like that and they get a satisfaction. Other people like me, like it is just a it's like hell. Like that's what, if I were to go to hell, I'd be folding t-shirts and stacking Blockbuster boxes.
Yeah. I didn't mind delivering auto parts wasn't a bad job for me, because it's just you load the truck up and then you go, and like you're on your own, you're all day just listening to the radio.
And also, you look like you deliver auto parts, so people just come up to you and be like, "Did you go?
You have auto parts?" I go, "I got a truck full of them, dude."
Do I?
She goes, "Excuse me, sir, you have auto parts?" You go, "I'm off duty right now."
I did a bunch of telemarketing type shit. Those jobs always last like a few weeks. Didn't mean anything ever. Get a couple paychecks.
Those suck.
But I did a couple of those.
I did one where I was just making phone calls to old people to refinance their mortgages or something.
But oh, I think we did the same one. It was was it mortgage insurance? So it's like if you die, it'll pay your mortgage off, so your family doesn't absorb that burden.
I don't even know what I did. I have no idea. But all I know is that if you got people's credit card or if you got their social security numbers, you would get double commission. And then, like, you'd also be able to get two social security numbers per household. So if you got, like, the husband and the wife's social security numbers, you got, like, quadruple commission. So that was the whole game. So I remember just, like, aggressively just, like, talking to old ladies that just didn't know better.
Give me your social security number.
Bitch, I'm going to come kill you. Do you want to get raped?
I've got your grandchild here. Give me your social security number. Hey, boss. Done.
I'm right outside your window.
Hi, Linda. This is Louis J. Gomez from Mortgage Refinancing Associates, and I have your little grandson, Jimmy. Give me your fucking social security number. And
give me your social security number. Rattle it off. Everybody in the house. Wait, no, I can only do two. Give me two fucking...
The lights get cut off at her house. You see that? I'm here.
My financing department will be in touch soon. Goodbye. I really didn't work too many jobs. I wish I did, because I feel like I missed out on a lot of stories and relatability to people, because I never worked service industry. I worked a lot of jobs. I just never worked like service industry at all. And like, that seems like everyone's got such like a, like almost like a comparative throughway. Like everyone worked at least McDonald's for a couple days or fast food. You know, like you, Lewis, you worked KFC and shit. I've never done
that. But there was a time where I worked. I mean, I've had a job every day of my life since I was 11 years old, right? I've always had a job. But it was like, there was a time where I'd worked on Route 9W in West Havasu at every single establishment that was like right there, like where I worked at ShopRite, Blockbuster, Taco Bell, KFC. It was fucking everything.
I did a CD store once that I was already doing comedy.
Yeah, but, I was at a CD store as well, the Taco Bell.
CD store. The CD store was, I got to rob them blind of music stuff. But like what you said with Blockbuster, Lewis, like one of the reasons I think I particularly don't care for Pearl Jam as a band was while I worked there, they did two tours and they released a live CD from every show they did. One was America, one was South America, I think. And the covers were all completely the same. They were delivered in a random order, and we had to put them out. Like,
oh no.
Yeah, so I had to look at a barcode for every single CD and be like, Antigua. And then look at the next one and be like, okay, San Paolo. They're all just plain brown covers. It was so tedious. I left shortly after that.
Yeah, that sucks. All those jobs suck. God damn it.
Was there one you didn't love any of them? There was no like job you ever, I mean,
KFC. I loved KFC.
You did like working there.
I loved it, dude. I mean, it was the same thing. Like the same way you got to like rob them blind of their CDs, I got to rob them blind of chicken. Dude, my boss would turn around, I would just grab an entire original recipe drumstick and I'd go, throw the bone in the garbage.
I do remember. I loved working at the bagel store in Brooklyn, Bagel Lady, for a similar reason. But it was also just, and it was hard. It was a hard job because like the weekends would be slammed. And it's like overwhelming when you have crazy long lines.
Damn, Dave. Dave, your only jobs have been a bagel store and a bank, you kike.
You know, I worked for the International Monetary Fund. I worked for the Weather Channel.
I worked at a bow ties for teenager store.
I just remember making money as a teenager was just the most amazing feeling.
I may just be remembering
it's just the best.
Maybe this is from someone else. Wasn't something crazy happening at that bagel cafe with the? Maybe I'm just. Yeah, if not, then if you,
I mean, I
by probably not. Like, wasn't there a weird? Wasn't there like a weird relation to the lady or something, and her son worked there also or something?
No. That's something else.
I do remember. One time we ran out of egg bagels, and it was an emergency.
Oh, she one time, dude, she was such a seedy owner. And she was just brutal. Like, so the next, I worked for her store. And then the next year she moved me to a different store and made me the head of the store. And I was like 16 or something like that. And she I was managing the store. And I was like a 16-year-old pothead. It was inexcusable to let me manage a store. I was stoned the entire time I was there.
You're letting you're letting a wigger manage this place?
I was, I see the Judaism
in him.
Her husband came in one day and got mad at me because I was blaring hip hop music, and he was like, customers don't want to hear this. And I was like, I was Hot 97. I don't know, whatever. I was smoking weed in the like storage, like freezer.
You will play dreidel, dreidel, dreidel on repeat and only that.
But I threw out the bagels once at the end of the day, like the store was closing, and the bagels were like hard. I was like, these are like fucking nasty. I threw them out. Like,
what? You could use these as wheels.
I swear to God, she wasn't even Jewish, this chick, but she did the Jewiest thing in the history of the world. She made me go out to the curb and bring them back in because she said she puts a little water on them and puts them back in the oven so they're not as hard really? Like the next day. And I was just like, oh, that is so funky.
Yeah.
You bitch.
Yeah. I mean, I still ate them.
Bitch.
Did you bake the bagels too, or you just worked at the store?
No, they wouldn't let me. Oh, Lewis, come on. What am I, fucking doctor over here? Jewish. No, I never made it.
The bagels. I never made it. 15 years old, when I got kicked out of school, in the second half of ninth grade, I was expelled from school and I was put into PM school. My job, I worked for the...
What put you over the edge? What got you expelled?
What was the final straw?
Was it one big thing or a series of?
No, it was like a series of things. And it was like, if you do one more thing to get suspended, where it could have been like anything, it's like you're going to go to the PM school program. And at that point, I had been wrongfully suspended for threatening my teacher's life. I didn't do it.
I just said, you know, I could murder you, and then showed her that a knife existed in my pocket.
No, it was. I've told the story before, so I won't go into the whole fucking detail. But I was talking to a friend at the end of class, and then the teacher was like, "Yeah, go to timeout." And it was literally like a minute left in the class, like 1 minute left in class.
How old are you?
Ninth grade. So when you go to timeout, timeout's just like a closet, essentially. It's like in school suspension, like you know, they spend the rest of the period, like, you know,
only
finishing
time out is weak,
yeah, away from the rest. If you're disruptive, you finish that period away from all the other students. But he sent me out with a minute left in the class. I wasn't even going to make it to the timeout classroom. He was just letting me leave class early to go to my next class, so I didn't give a shit at all. There was no anger there. I didn't give a fuck anyway. I was a bad kid. I wasn't like a violent kid where I was like cursing at teachers and throwing shit. I was like a smart ass who would cut class, and I would fucking, you know, play hacky sack in the courtyard, and I would, you know, have three lunch periods. No, but I just go to all three lunch periods and play hacky sack the whole time and like hang out and talk to chicks.
Go to all three lunch periods. Now you just sound like a fat kid.
I
worked it off with hacky sack, Dave. You see.
Well, no, there was fourth, fifth, or sixth period is lunch, right? For most schools, right? That's the way it was for my school. Whatever my lunch, let's say I was fifth period, fifth, and sixth period
in my school. Okay,
whatever was to be learned during fourth or sixth period was not being learned by me. Didn't matter what the class was. Didn't matter if it was necessary. I wasn't going to class during lunch periods. Just wasn't going to happen. Until my senior year of high school, in which I had to literally give up my lunch period and then stay after school every day in order to have enough credits to pass. I had to give up everything, like every single thing.
That sucks.
It was fucking awful playing catch up. But yeah, I fucking, that teacher kicked me out. And then he said that I said, "You'll live to regret this." That's the words that I used. So I came in the next day and they were like, "Yeah, you threatened a teacher's life."
That is a hilarious thing. It sounds like you might say a grandiose thing.
Didn't 100% no, didn't say it.
I believe you didn't say it.
You sound like you don't believe me, actually.
That guy nailed
Lewis,
you, though.
Yeah, like, no one's saying we don't believe you. I know, you didn't say
no,
it. I'm just
no,
saying
the
that,
school said
that
they
guy,
didn't believe me, Dave. It's a touchy subject.
Yeah, but
no
your friends do believe you.
That. We believe you. I'm just saying that guy, he had you pegged.
Yeah, he just said something that was so believable.
That's like such a Lewis thing to say.
He was so gross, dude. He would lose my science teacher.
This. He goes, classic Lewis, you're out of here, bud. No questions asked.
Dude, he would wear like a white t-shirt, and his pit stains were so bad that it yellowed the shirt. Like the white shirt became yellow. And this is just like the way you present yourself. He was like an old, you know, old man, 50s, 60s.
Older guy. Okay.
Yeah, but he was like fucking crazy. He ended up like, he ended up getting fired because he wasn't doing his job. Like, I what's funny is that same guy got me suspended. He gave me an 85 for the first two quarters of school. And I never looked at like work. I never did one bit of work. He just wasn't doing the work. He just randomly wrote in grades for people.
That's a great conversation. Do you guys remember at all the first time as a kid you saw like an adult get reprimanded in some way? Like, I do remember. I remember having a teacher get fired, and it was like a thing where it's like he did something shitty. Like, you saw or heard about the thing he did.
I had a couple.
It's like somebody grabbing a student or something, and you hear they get fired, and you're like, ooh, they got in trouble.
Like, well, I remember two things that I remember. So one was when I was in the third grade at PS 107. She never got in trouble for this, but we used to have the like citywide tests. That was like, you know, how the, you know, they judge the schools. And she just gave us all the answers. She just told us the answers as we were taking the test because they wanted to like get their scores up, because that's how they judge public school teachers, I guess.
For budget.
And she just did this thing where she went, it was like at the age where they still read the questions out loud, if it makes sense, like in third grade. And so there's like, you know, you have like the four circles for the multiple choice thing, and you have to fill it out. And she would go, if Johnny wants to blah, 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 is it A? So, and then she goes at the front of the class, she goes, everyone, listen to my voice and listen to the tone of my voice. And she would just go like, is it A, 5, B, 6, C, 7? And just, she just did that through the whole test, like just told you which one. And she didn't get in trouble for it. But I remember at the moment being like, that's fucked up.
I just got it.
And I was like, this is like fucking wrong. And there was one point where one kid,
and like, you were like, you're like, this is something a kid does.
Yeah. And so then this one,
she's cheating.
Like this one slow kid in the class, I guess, just didn't pick up on it. He didn't get what she was saying, that she was saying, listen to
that's
which
just
one
how
I say
people
louder.
Talk.
And so, and he's like, I don't know what it is. I don't understand. And she's like, listen to my voice. And she, then she starts like, she got so mad at him that she starts going, is it A, 5, B, 6, C, 7? And she's screaming in this kid's face. And I remember in third grade just being like, yo, lady, you are fucked up. Like,
you're
screaming
wrong.
At this kid. You're doing something wrong. And you're flipping out on him for it. I remember just being like, wow, I could, like, that's fucked up. Like, it was like, adults can be corrupt. It was like a weird, like, oh, they're
especially when it's
really
like a 26-year-old dumbass. Like,
yeah,
people who like we act like teachers are fucking heroes. No, there's a lot of fucking just dumbasses. And that was the job that they just decided to go into. Yeah, most of them. Dude, it's like, you know, you hear it about cops. You hear it about just like, there's a lot of shitheads who go into public service positions and they're not actually morally, you know, better than anybody else. Very often they're morally corrupt. I remember the first time I watched an adult, like, it's not the same thing, but it was like an adult be like embarrassed, or like I felt embarrassment for the adult. And it was my Uncle Raymond. Now, my Uncle Raymond was like
newspaper uncle.
No, different uncle. This was my mother's brother. Uncle Raymond. Uncle Raymond.
Beginning of this is like the beginning of Welcome Back, Cotter. I type in Uncle Raymond and he starts telling a joke.
We've been friends with Lewis Bobby for 20 years, and somehow he always has a new uncle we haven't heard of.
No, I got a lot of uncles. I mean, you're talking to a Puerto Rican and half white trash. It's like uncles galore on both of those communities, right? My mother had four brothers, Robert, Raymond, Benji, and Michael, right? And Uncle Raymond was the biggest fuck up out of all of them. Uncle Robert's up there as well, but Uncle Raymond was like in prison. He was like really jacked, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was in really, really good shape. You've heard of Uncle Raymond. Uncle Raymond's the first person to ever buy me weed. You know what I'm saying? He's the one who said, what's my name? Skip. That's where I got that from. It's my Uncle Raymond. All right. But Uncle Raymond would like, he'd be doing sentence in prison. And I just kind of looked at Uncle Raymond like he was kind of a badass. Like, he had nunchucks and he had like fighting gloves. Like, they were like fingerless gloves before fighting, like street fighting. Like, they were like straps. And I was
you want to see me throw this football over those mountains?
But my Uncle Benji was like the nice one out of all of them. You know what I'm saying? My Uncle Robert, my Uncle Raymond were regularly in jail. And I looked at Uncle Raymond kind of just like he was like a badass. You know what I'm saying? He ended up being a paranoid schizophrenic, like really going like bad.
You're so cool,
crazy.
Raymond. You're not like that faggot Benji who's always at work.
Yeah.
You hang out and see if you can put a knife between your fingers without hurting yourself.
So, but I remember when I was maybe 9, 10, like my son's age, maybe. I remember I was sitting on my porch. And I saw my Uncle Raymond just run past the porch. And I was like, oh, where's Uncle Raymond going? What's he exercising? And then another kid, Nick Giacoli, the kid who used to beat me up, his uncle, Tony Hewitt, was chasing my uncle and trying to kick his ass. And who I thought was a badass, my uncle, was running away from him in fear. And I remember just being like nine.
Louis, get your mom, get your mom, get your mom.
I remember just being like, oh man, that is such a pussy move to run from another. Like, I would get my ass kicked by these kids all the time. And even I knew, at least just fucking turn around and fight them for the love of God. But this man who like was in good shape, like, you know, and fucking talked about getting into fights and shit, was just running from another dude. And it was just the fucking, it was just some bitch shit.
After that, Louis started hanging with Uncle Benji a lot more.
Uncle Benji became pretty cool after that.
All right, boys, let's take a quick moment and thank YoKratom.com for being a longtime supporter of this show, the exclusive sponsor on today's episode of the Legion of Skanks podcast. We love YoKratom.
Love them. They're the best supporter of everything we do, and they're also the best place to get Kratom. They got high-quality stuff, best price you're going to find anywhere, $60 for a kilo, and it's delivered right to your door. It's a no-brainer. Yeah.
If you're over 21 years old and you are already in the market for Kratom, get it from YoKratom.com. Very, very simple. It's cheaper. It's better quality. Why wouldn't you?
YoKratom.com.
All right. Where were we?
Oh, can you show real quick? They found they have both those clips. I want to show you, Louis.
Please. Yeah. And then, by the way, we are debuting BotBab today. Yeah.
This is great. Perfect.
We're debuting BotBab.
I can't do sound effects on Zoom. We could add it. I can do it vocally.
No, you do it. You make that sound happen one way or the other, Bobby.
I know that there's a way to get it done, Bobby.
I know there is too, but it's a bit much when I'm sharing video, pictures, sharing sounds, and talking.
I thought I forgot we were going to do this bit and show Louis this
scene. So funny, is it?
All right, let's see.
Well, this is just the setup. This is the movie.
Young Cuba.
Hi. You're late. I thought something might have happened to you.
Ain't nothing gonna happen to me.
Also, Louis set up. He got pulled over by the cops and fucked with. Bad.
Yeah. Well, why was he in that neighborhood?
Kill all these motherfuckers. I'm sick of fucking tired of this shit. I'm sick of this shit. I'm so fucking tired of this shit. Fuck this shit. Too many motherfuckers. Fuck you. Fucking dirty as shit. Don't let me kill all you motherfuckers. Come on. Come on to me, motherfucker.
Oh. So the white man made him this way.
Yeah. So you can go to the next scene. So this one, Sean Wayne just got fucked with by the cops.
Okay, let's see.
She has 12 kids.
Dude, parody rules.
Just knocked out kids all over.
Dude, what happened to whatever happened to like this style of comedy, like slapstick. Just true slapstick silly? I love it. It's what we talk about all the time about Walk Hard, right? Where it's like
Walk Hard is amazing.
It died with Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen movies, all of them were so good, dude. All the Naked Guns hold up completely. If you go back,
but he started doing really shitty ones. The end.
Well, he was just collecting checks, but that is nothing. I'm just saying, like slapstick movies.
All the
like,
Naked Guns are funny as shit.
But they had the Scary Movie. That whole
Scary Movie thing one and like two, that. I think, were really funny. I think they kind of lost steam after that.
Leslie Nielsen made a parody of The Exorcist called Repossessed that I loved when I was a kid.
Did you like that?
I loved it. I fucking loved Repossessed one and two.
It was actually Linda Blair.
Yeah, it was actually Linda Blair. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was great, dude.
What is the one they made off Lethal Weapon? They made one.
Oh, Loaded Weapon. That was Emilio Estevez and Sam Jackson.
Was that it?
They had the Armand DeSante one that was pretty. Yeah, they used to make slapstick movies.
Like slapstick and parody fucking rules. They don't really do it. You know who kind of did it? I didn't finish watching it, but I'm going to watch it this weekend when I'm in Phoenix, is the Weird Al movie. I watched like the first 20 minutes of it, and it was pretty fucking funny, and it's like just sort of tongue-in-cheek slapstick.
It's like his life story, but
it's not real.
It's a parody of his life story.
Yes. So it's like, you know, there's like these moments where he's like listening to the radio, and then he like just starts like doing it, and his friends are like, whoa. It's like none of it happened that way.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, I guess it taps into sort of the Walk Hard slapstick parody thing, which I fucking think is great. It's a dying art form. They just don't make movies like that anymore.
Oh, dude, I watched Walk Hard again kind of recently. I forget when he was like started singing.
I watch it probably once every 6 months.
When he was like, all right, hey, boys, try to follow me on this one. And they play, it's like a perfect song they play.
Yeah, he starts playing, he goes, dun, dun, dun. And then they go, no, the funniest part is they start following along, which it almost makes sense because like musicians can maybe do that. And then they do the background vocal and they all come in together with the exact words.
I know we're not going to, you can even cut this down if you want, but just, you don't have to play it. But just the idea of that when the guy goes, is it Chris Parnell or something? He goes, if this next song, you have 30 seconds to change the rest of your life. If this next song doesn't catch me immediately, you're out of here and you're going to be a failure for the rest of your life. And then he goes,
and I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. He goes, and he turns around and goes, like right away. He's the first note.
I love it, dude. Walk Hard is my number one most underappreciated movie. Like people don't talk about it. It's so fucking funny. I love it. Let's do plugs and then let's get into fucking Bop Bad, baby boy. Can I plug first this week?
Plug, dog.
This weekend, me and Aaron Berg, we'll be in Phoenix, Arizona. Then we'll be in Minneapolis the next weekend. Cuyahoga Falls the weekend after that. January is the end of our tour, the Offend Everyone tour. So come out and support that. Grab tickets for those shows. Then I'll be with Big J in Boston and at the Fox Theater in February. And I'm taking the rest of February off before I go back out on tour. I got a bunch of dates lined up already. St. Louis, Grand Rapids, Yonkers, San Diego, Houston, Lafayette, Louisiana, and many more. Go to lewisofskanks.com to grab tickets for those shows. Subscribe to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PR Rattlesnake, where you could try to win free tickets and cash prizes every single time I'm on. And make sure you subscribe to all my other pods, Real S Podcast, Yo MMA Rap, and the Gas Digital Network. Use the promo code LOS. Brand new website, brand new streaming platform, brand new apps, everything launching very, very soon. We actually have a date that we're looking at to start doing our testing. So yeah, things are going very, very well on that end as well. So, and go to podcastmerch.com and grab some merch.
Davey, go ahead.
I got a bunch of stuff coming up. Next week, I'll be out in St. Louis at the Funny Bone out there. Please come out and see me. Got Robbie the Fire Bernstein coming with me on all these gigs. And then the following week, I'll be in Perryville, Maryland, doing a live stand-up show and a live Part of the Problem podcast. And then a bunch more stuff coming up. I'll be in Dallas, Fort Worth, Detroit, at the House of Comedy out there. Doing the Soul Joel's Room out in Pottstown, and then the Side Splitters out in Tampa, Florida. ComicDaveSmith.com. All the ticket links and stuff are up there. And yeah, that's all.
Davey, do you do like special guests when you do a live Part of the Problem?
Sometimes.
You always have like a big guest, yeah?
No, not always. I mean, it depends. Sometimes we'll just do like a live show. It depends. Like if there's a good guest in the area, sometimes I'll try to get them out on a
show. That's what I kind of figure is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's got to be close to D.C. More than likely, you're going to do great. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, bud. You just totally understand. You go, so you probably have like some huge special guest on that
goes,
one.
Like, no, it's nope. Just me and Rob.
It's just me. You go, oh, all right.
Thanks. All right. Well, you know, I get been checking it out still. No, it's going to be fantastic. If you want to catch me, everybody, this weekend, I'm in Chicago. This will be on Friday, right? So Friday night, there still might be tickets available, possibly, for the midnight show. We're doing a What's Your Fucking Deal in Old City. And then the first two on Saturday in Rosemont are sold out already. But I think there might be some tickets available for the Sunday shows. And there's two shows on Sunday. So 9 shows I'm doing in Chicago this weekend. So please come out if you haven't already got tickets to get some of them. But I think we're sold. I think 5 of them are sold out. So that's fucking great. Next weekend after that, Sacramento. After them all over the place until every weekend going up to April and even into April now. And the special is going to be coming out, Dog Belly, Big Jokerson Dog Belly, live from Skankfest, coming out in the beginning of March. So I'm going to be all over the place getting ready for that. Bonfire and SDR show. Yeah.
Sick. Fucking sick, bro. We're not going to look at this now, but Bobby, just really quickly, you know, we looked up Soft White Underbelly.
Yep.
That just go on the YouTube channel, just look up Inbred Family, the Whitakers on Soft White Underbelly. And we're not going to watch it. We're just gonna be a quick little snapshot of a preview for something that we'll do in the future. Because I have to just show Jay this family's face. It is wild. It's a family of inbred people, and they do an interview with them.
Okay. I'm listening.
Bobby?
Okay, Bobby. I'm looking for the inbred
Bobby,
family.
If you will.
Robert? Can you hear me?
Yes. Robert.
Hold on. I'm going to share the page with you.
They are. Doggy.
Fuck some me, people, running.
I'm going to tell my kids that this is the Legion of Skanks.
Wow. Is the right one's not a woman? That's crazy.
I have no idea what's what there.
No, here's the thing. You've already got all the hillbilly shit going on. Why not? Like, this guy chose just a mustache. Do you know what I mean? Isn't it weird they still make choices on looks?
I think just whatever's growing is growing.
You think so? Oh, dude, look at
that. No, you think that guy grows just a mustache? No. He's shaving the rest. I mean, he has an actual haircut.
If you were living in the world of The Walking Dead and you shot all of them in the head, you could probably get off by just being like, they were clearly walkers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They talk in moans and groans for sure. The one in the middle should have been killed at birth. I mean, he's bringing nothing to the world.
All right. Well, that'll be on the next episode of Legion of Skanks. We're going to do a deep dive on the Whitakers, the inbred family.
Yeah. Yeah. There's our pro-choice message. Abort that.
I've been converted.
Yeah, it goes, don't bring it into the world. What is that doing? What's that thing going to do? Open cans?
We have can openers.
Bobby, go back and show the picture again. If you could for 1 second. Throw the picture back up.
Robert?
Brian, show the picture again, please.
Brian, if you can show the picture.
Look at Bobby getting annoyed because he's taking the blame. Brian, please, picture.
What's this guy in the middle going to do? Open cans.
I just wanted to get the visual. I understood.
Yeah.
No.
Open cans. A rare J bombing. I like it though.
Open cans.
It might have worked if they had gotten the picture up when he wanted it, but those 12 seconds really killed any possibility of
timing is very important in comedy.
What's that kid in the middle going to do? Open cans.
What if Jay just got stuck on this and can never be funny again?
Oh, no. It's the Pablo Francisco thing. You're in good hands with Allstate. Wait, you think I can't get out of this? I can get out of this. You think I can't get out of this? I watch that once every 6 months. Pablo Francisco meltdown on stage.
Let's get into Bob Ebb.
Bobby, our first eight bands today.
So give us what's going on. Where are the rules here now? What is it? We have thousands of bands enter, right?
Yes. You have all the bios sent to you guys' emails this morning. You should look them up so that you can read them.
All right. Passive aggressive. I'll do it myself.
That's not where I was going. I'm going to show you the bracket, what it looks like here. This is our 32.
The battle of the badass bands. Holy shit. We all know. So we're just doing one corner of the bracket today, right?
Yes, we're going to do the top The first eight of the left side.
Mercy Mine, Drew Asworth, Arrival of Autumn, Wyatt Only and Wreckage, Violet Knight, Colt Gee, Sammy Paradise, and Wild Plains. Very exciting.
I think that's Colt G.
Yes, nope. Colt G. He also
know him very well. His name's Colt Gee.
Nepotism
now.
He was the one that created our Christmas song, if you remember that.
Oh, so it's Colt G.
Yes.
Nice. Sammy Patterson, Mild Plains. So we're going to go right down in order?
Yes, we are. We'll start with...
What do I do today? I read their bio?
Yeah, I'm going to show you their picture and you read their bio.
Got it.
All right, here we go.
I'm looking for this email. Hold on, Alex. It's from Bobby?
It's from Alex.
Oh, got it.
All right, here's Mercy Mine. This is their song, and you can read their bio. I mean, this is their picture. You can read their bio.
Okay. Dark. But here's what I feel like.
They all look like Dave Smith.
Well, I was going to say.
One guy looks like Michael Bisping.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think these guys are in the dark to hide. They all look like they also have, like, good day jobs.
They all have Dave Smith face. Look.
Yeah.
Three, and five have Dave Smith face. Number four is Michael Bisping. Look
cool.
Face.
Number two raped me. Yeah, I know it's him. Can you please say, shut your fat ass up and stay down? Can I hear him say that? Number two, can you say, shut your fat ass up and bite the pillow?
Dude, number five looks like he has an elbow injury. He's like, I'm cool.
Ow, no, take the picture. I got to go. The bone. I can see the bone.
He goes, seriously, who puts a fucking end table right there by the door?
Yeah, come on, man. Think about some of your tall friends, you little guy.
How am I going to play the fucking bass?
Bro. I feel like that's the foreign drummer.
You think he's the drummer? I imagine he was the bassist, dude.
Mercy Mine is here to win this year's Bop Bap competition.
Hell yeah.
We're a five-piece metal band from the Bay Area, California.
Fuck yeah.
Our vocalist yells more viciously than Luis J. Gomez yells at his Uber driver.
Impossible, but I like the attitude.
Our riffs are heavier than Bobby Kelly at his fattest.
That's heavier than the first airplane ever created by the Wright brothers.
Our drummer is more foreign than any of your interns.
So you were right about the drummer.
Well, no, I saw that. That's why.
Oh, damn.
At one point, we all used to dress like Big J. And as we continue to grow as a band, we plan to spread a message equally as powerful as Dave Smith does with libertarians.
Wow, great
possible.
I was thinking great bio.
And these all guys right. have soul pain, according to their hats.
15 seconds of the song Phantom, right?
Yes.
1 minute ready? In.
So 1 minute in, yes. You ready?
Yep.
Go. Okay,
that's pretty good.
I liked it. That was good music right there.
I did.
They were pretty hardcore
when that kicked. When it kicked in,
it made me really want to hear the rest of the song when that kicked in.
Well, you get these like more like prog, hardcore prog metal guys. So like they do like the weird time signature. So when you come in and there's not like it's not on a thumping beat, it almost seems weird. But I was picking up what they were putting down. I thought they were really good.
Yeah, that caught me.
Okay, and they're going up against Drew Asworth. And this is Drew here.
Damn, Drew Asworth was born in the deserts of Arizona and raised in the...
And though he looks like a man, he actually has a pussy between his legs.
Yeah. Born... Yeah, it's hilarious. He was raised in the pine-covered hills of West Georgia. From birth, he was immersed in the Delta blues, Southern rock, R&B, soul, and classic country records in his parents' collection.
Can I just pause for 1 second?
Mm-hmm.
His bio is really long, and this is not our fault, guys. But I will say, Drew, we are reading 100% of the bio, and I'm saying that it does not play well for Drew to have such a long, serious bio.
No, it's strategy. I'm going to forget that first song by the time we get to his.
Let me get through it. He developed a powerful and soulful singing style.
Looks like Big J with cancer,
right? Yeah, I can get down with that. He developed a powerful and soulful singing style that was recognized very early in his life. At the tender age of 8, he found an old guitar in his grandmother's attic, and he hasn't put it down
since. At the young, tight, hot, tender age of 8.
At the age of 13, Drew came under the teachings of master guitarist, renowned author, and music instructor Brian Jobson.
Not the Brian Jobson.
By the age of 15, Drew was playing shows for spending money in his local music scene of Metro Atlanta. In 2018, Drew released his EP, The Higher Plan, and appeared on the Alabama Public TV show, the Duggar Mountain Music Hall, which continues to air on public TV, both in the United States and in England.
Can I say, real quick, just a little bit of a side note, you know how Opie and Anthony used to Jocktober like other radio shows?
Mm-hmm.
Can our fans Jocktober the Duggar Mountain Music Hall, please? Like, I want you to torture them. I want you to harass them regularly, send them fucking crude photos, let them know the Legion of Skanks sent you. Duggar Mountain Music Hall is fucking done. They're dead to us.
In the fall of 2019, Drew went back in the studio and began working on his next EP.
Still on 2019. Go ahead.
Titled Agents of Change, which was released internationally in 2021. In 2022, Drew signed an artist recording contract with platinum producer Chaz Childers and his Atlanta, Nashville, Memphis-based record label, Eminent Music Group, LLC. In August of 2022, Drew won the Atlanta Blues Society Blues Challenge in the solo duo category.
In September of 2022, Drew wrote the Cannot Write a Short Fucking Bio for His Life competition.
Forgetting there. He's going to represent Atlanta in Memphis, Tennessee on Beale Street at the 2023 International Blues Challenge.
It's not over. We're in 2023 and there's another two paragraphs in the bio. How is it possible?
This was just the biography part. Now we're getting into the bio.
Drew received two endorsement deals in 2022 with Baldacci Guitars and Clayton Custom Guitar Picks. Drew's inspiration to create music comes from his love of music of legends like Warren Haynes, Duane Allman, Dickie Betts, David Gilmour.
Now you're just naming Townsend, other musicians.
Eric Clapton, Albert King, Buddy Guy, Kenny Wayne Shepherd,
Drew,
Derek Trucks, B.B. King, Joe Bonamassa, SRP.
Drew's inspiration includes
Taj Mahal, Santana, Jimmy Page, John Mayall, Jeff Beck, Van Morrison,
Why?
Keith Richards, Tom Petty, and Marcus King, to name a few.
A few.
Drew describes the style of music he writes as authentic Southern music. When he isn't performing,
he's writing this bio.
He enjoyed all of his
time. Drew spends all of his time writing his own bio.
But shitting and sleeping, it's pretty much all.
Thank God he wrote it in pencil. When he isn't performing or writing or recording music, he enjoys adventures with his wife and being a dad to his 6 children, a dog, and a cat. That's
it. He has 6 kids, a music career, and time to write this bio?
Impossible.
Incredible.
What's more crazy is all that stuff. Then at the end, he just goes, have 6 kids and a dog, a wife, and a cat.
All right. His song is, entry is, You Ain't Living If You Ain't Loving. Drew, this better be fucking great. It better...
Well, this is 1 minute into what I can only assume is a 75-minute song.
If it opens up and I hear a slide guitar, we're turning it off right away.
All right,
Funky Soul, sung by a white guy with a goatee.
if he mentions a pickup truck, if he mentions Jesus, or if there's a slide guitar, he's automatically disqualified because
when a woman hurts your heart, you gotta go by Blazer.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Just to break all of your chains. Listen, it's so easy. Let me explain.
I liked it.
I liked it. I did like it.
It was a little. I would just say it's a little nondescript in the 15 seconds we were able to hear, but it was bouncy. I was into it.
This is the tough thing about a round one where you only get 15 seconds. It's tough. It was a good song, but I felt like I needed more of it to get what it was.
Yeah, here's the deal. I think that I felt more impressed with Mercy Mine's presentation of their music. I thought their bio was funny. I think our audience will connect with that style of music more. I personally connect with that style of music more. And I think they just executed what they do a little bit better than when he, and it might just be the song choice. It might be the moment in the song, right? But I think the moment in that song for him was, it just wasn't a particularly interesting or impressive moment. Whereas like we saw a pretty fucking cool breakdown. It got really heavy and, you know, so it could just simply be the
yeah, I was
the moment.
Caught in that 15 seconds. I was caught more by the other one. Both great though. That was his thing was really good. I said, as soon as it came on, I was like, felt dancing to it. I would pick, what was the first band's name?
Mercy Mine.
Mercy Mine. I would pick for more because it, for a genre of music that I do think oftentimes painfully sounds the same. That took a turn in that 15 seconds we heard that I was curious to hear where it went. And like, it was a great song that, Drew played, but it felt like very familiar. Does that make sense? Like the yes. part of the song, it didn't get to like a part where it was really showed as like unique thing.
It didn't reach out and scream that it was fucking great. And the other guys were, and you know, to be honest with you, another side of this as well is like, this is for our audience, for the Skanks fans. So I think that,
You pick for the audience? I mean, I kind of pick.
I pick for myself for the most part, but if somebody's going to win BopBab, I think that they have to, you know, I think that they should, you know, I think that it should be more something. You're going to have to be so fucking good at something that's not like kind of like badass and like metal or good hip hop. If it's like jazz, it better be so fucking good and impressive. If it's going to be like honky tonk or country, it's going to have to really, really stand out as that much technically better in order to win this competition, from my perspective.
I get what you're saying.
I'm kind of open to it being something that is a little more like, not like right on the nose on our brand.
In general, I just pick whatever song I liked more.
Yeah.
But Lewis makes a point. It is Battle of the Badass Bands. So, sure. You know, I get the point he's making. Look, the first round, I never feel weird about even judging because you're judging 15 seconds of a song. It's just, you just have to go off whatever we heard. But yeah, I thought I agree with you guys. What was the name of the first band again? I'm sorry. Mercy Mac.
Mercy Mine moving forward. All right, next one. Autumn, Arrival of Autumn. Let's see the picture.
Picture. You want to read the bio?
Now it's all Big J's. It's 1, 2, what? 3, and 5 look like Big J. Number 4 looks like Michael fucking Bisping.
And then Jay. Also, what about Chinese Big J?
Jay, no pressure, but the Dave's already got through.
Damn. You want me to read this bio or you want to read it, Lewis?
No, please, you can read it.
Arrival of Autumn started as a band with a mission to play music without compromise and carve their way through the music scene on their own terms. Coming from a small city in northern Canada, this was a necessary strategy since the band.
I also like that. I like
city.
The fact that we're giving some, you know, some third world country bands an opportunity.
Yeah, these guys really, they're ready to see our indoor toilets. After touring in support of 2 self-released albums, Endless Nights and Shadows, the band began plotting their next release. On a whim, they decided to send some stuff of the new demos to one of their heroes, Jason Sukoff at Audio Hammer Studios, to see if he would be interested in recording them. To the band's absolute surprise, he liked what he heard and found time between some of the heavy hitters that he's working with to record the material. This was an opportunity the band couldn't pass up and immediately started planning the trip of flying over 3,000 miles from one end of the continent of North America to the other to record the best songs the band has ever written. Arrival of Autumn has since toured North America with acts such as In Flames, Soulfly, Avatar, and more. Woo! Stay tuned for the release of new music slated for early 2023.
Well, look, this is a legit band. If they're touring with In Flames, they're touring with Soulfly, they're fucking good. They're going to be
Avatar,
a really good
Avatar's
type
a big
band
in metal.
Oh, they're huge right now. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And this is their song, 15 Seconds of Apocalyptic.
Yep, here we go. I have no sense.
Okay.
A little more melodic than I thought it was going to be, which is good.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know anything about any of this shit, but they sounded to me like they were like a very talented band.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very good. And then they're going against.
Hold that thought. I'm just getting my, butane.
I'll just read the bio. Lewis will miss the bio. It's fine.
Yeah. Wyatt Olney and the Wreckage. Wyatt Olney and the Wreckage is a hard rock quartet from Seattle, Washington, formed in 2015. The group quickly rose to prominence.
Oh, I know this group. This is the Ralphs.
Oh, the Ralphs. That's great. And surrounding territories after the release of their debut album, Dark Futures, in 2016. Over the course of 2016, the band went from playing basements to performing the sold-out shows, Showbox Market. The 2017 release of the anthemic sophomore album, Welcome to Seattle, was met with widespread acclaim and led to regular rotation on rock radio stations and headline performing at KISW's Red Festival and several other music festivals. We're getting like legit bands here.
Yeah, dude, what the hell's going on here? They used to all just be suck shit bands. These guys are all legit.
So they're doing something. In 2021, the band released their third album, Silver Bullet, marking the highest performing release to date and closing in at over 650,000 streams opening week. The album
we should be competing on their show
and Swan Song, which remained the band's highest charting singles. The band recently wrapped their War in the West U.S. tour, including dates opening for Alice in Chains and Breaking Benjamin.
Wow.
First song Wyatt is
Olney and Wreckage. But these are two very professional bands. One of them is going home in week number one. Luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw. War Within.
War.
Okay, here we go.
War Within.
Here we go. I've come to bring you life. Last chance to put on the
fight. So rise again. What? Jay, do you want to start? I have some opinions already.
Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
I feel like energy-wise that I enjoyed a little bit more of the first band, Arrival of Autumn. Very good band, but Wyatt Olney and the Wreckage, I don't know. It's not the kind of music I'm into, I'd say, exactly, but like it's in that vein where I think they'll have a song that I'll like really, really love.
That mud vein.
So I'm going to go with Wyatt Olney and the Wreckage for me.
Dude,
very tough.
This
one,
is,
man.
Dude, we got round. This round might be, these bands might be better than any bands we've ever had in this competition before. Yeah. And we got
anybody that we've heard so far. With the exception of the country guy, he's fine. But out of the metal bands we've heard so far, any one of these guys could have won the competition in years past.
Yeah, they shouldn't be coming down to this contest.
Do you want to go, Lewis, or you want me to?
Look, I'm really torn. I think that I like Arrival of Autumn's music more, that style of a heavy metal, right?
Yeah.
I do feel like in the moment that I heard, the 15 seconds that I heard, Wyatt Olney and the Wreckage, it was just more interesting of a part, right? Like that moment kind of got me a little bit more. I was more interested in hearing more of that song. You know, it's a shame. I think I'd probably be more of a fan of Arrival of Autumn. But I just, you know, if I'm just going by, I think our audience would really like Wyatt Olney as well. So it's not like, you know, it's not one or the other. I'm leaning a little bit more toward Wyatt Olney.
Yeah, I'm literally for that exact same reason. I'm going to go with Wyatt Olney and the Wreckage. I just like that song just grabbed me a little bit more those 15 seconds than the others. I genuinely feel bad about sending a band as good as Arrival of Autumn.
Yeah, really.
Off
yeah.
on the first.
I'll say we'll put a losers bracket together. Maybe if somebody can't make it, we'll do some sort of bonus because some of these bands have been really fucking good. And I feel like it's only going to get better. This is just day one, folks.
All right. Our next two is Violent Night going against Cold.
It's Violet Night, not Violent.
Oh, sorry. Violet Night. The picture. Okay. Violet Night don't just play their instruments. They use them as tools to carefully construct emotion. Hailing from Toronto, Ontario, the band aims to traverse soundscapes as diverse as their province's landscapes. New single, Head Trip. Hey,
Bobby, can you superimpose, you know, the meme on Twitter with the Asian guy going, gay, right there?
New single, Head Trip, follows the smash success of sophomore LP, Anti-Heroes, which saw Violet Night rising on the waves of singles. If you are the ocean, then I would like to drown. With top 40 success on alternative radio and these anthemic hate me, surrounding these tracks are seven others that show the trio's ever-increasing mastery of hooks, from the late-night love letter Evergreen or introspection on Why We're Here, Stay Golden. We're All the Same in the Dark, to the driving rock anthem Wallflower, None of this means anything. Extensive touring in the U.S. along countless Canadian concerts have proven Violet Knight's charisma belongs on the stage as much as their creativity belongs in the studio. With the floodgates of possibility open and waves of already forming, be prepared to lose yourself in Anti-Heroes and in Violet Knight. First song, Head Trip, 1 minute and 15 seconds.
Okay, ooh. I like that.
Oh, that was going to jump somewhere.
That was fun. That was a fun indie rock vibe, retro throwback. Felt like the Cars. Digging it. It was different than I thought it was going to be.
It was definitely different than I thought it was going to be.
That was pretty great. Okay, that was Violet Knight going against Colt G. Colt G. I'm Colt G, a 27-year-old rapper and comedy content creator from Texas, as well as a father of three. I play guitar and sing country music as well as a day one Legion of Skanks fan.
Day right. one? No way.
Day Can I tell you something? That's impossible. Now, that's a great bio.
That's a great bio.
Three sentences long. I love it.
And he's like, oh, tour with Alice in Chains. His first song, Flexin' featuring Edna, 1 minute in, 15 seconds. Colt G.
Yo shit basic, yo shit old. My shit clean, my shit cold. Like Swisher Sweets, I'm down the row. Click on beats and hear the flow. I don't need no damn imposters. Flex on beats cause I'm a monster. So unique, just check my posture, Van.
Why is everyone so quiet? Oh, look,
that was it.
Because well, none of us were wholly impressed with Colt G.
I'll go first on this one, but I mean I don't know. Well, I think I love having a guy like Colt G in the competition. I love having like one of those guys. You know what I mean? Like I thought the song that we heard from Violet Knight sounded to me like if you had told me, oh, this is the number one song in America right now.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, oh, that's kind of a neat song. Like, I dig that. Like, it sounded like that could be like.
I think if you said that they were main stage Coachella, I'd go, that completely makes sense. If you told me this was already a famous mainstream band that was doing crazy shit, and Colt, where he's talented and he's good, it just, in my opinion, wasn't on the fucking level.
I think he became Colt G, I'm sad to say, I think was at the mercy of the part of the song we caught.
Yeah.
It was just.
The Christmas song he sent us was really good, great.
But it's Violet Knight, that song also, our 15 seconds dropped at a part, like something different was about to happen in the song, and I was so intrigued by that.
Can I say, maybe that's part of the strategy that they came in with, and they said they knew that the drop is at exactly 115, and they're going to like, oh, they're going to want to hear more of that. I want to hear more of it, you know? And you're right, I think that Colt got a bad, it's been all great people so far. Everyone's been great, including Colt. I think this is a particularly tough bracket. I think we all agree that Violet Knight is moving forward.
Violet Knight is moving forward, everybody.
And now, this is the last round we're doing today, right?
Yep. Last round of the day. Sammy Paradise. I like
Whoa, him. This guy's got money to burn.
That makes me laugh. Sammy Paradise, from the slums of meth-riddled white trash Northern California to the beautiful townhouse of a meth-riddled redneck town in Central Oregon, one rapper has overcome the odds and risen to paying his own rent. With a dead cat that fuels his inner sadness and a bitch girlfriend that fuels his inner rage,
hell yeah,
is destined to be the Louis J. Gomez of white rap, presenting the untouchable, the unemployed, the uncircumcised, Sammy Paradise.
Great bio. Sammy.
Song HOF, I assume Hall of Fame, 1 minute in for 15 seconds. Sammy Paradise, take it away.
Let's go.
We go. Now I'm going gravy, going my own pace. That's your blow. What did you expect? I need a place to stay. Make a clap for a nightcap. Make a clap for a nightcap. Wanna stay, then you gotta tap. Wanna stay, then you gotta tap. Wanna get to the Hall of Fame, but you did.
I liked it a lot. My only problem is that's like a beat. It's a famous beat. And that was.
Is it?
50% of
was that a famous beat? Honestly,
am I wrong or am I right, Bobby?
I gotta take that in the real consideration.
I've definitely heard it before.
I've heard that beat before. Yeah, it's a famous beat. The clapping, yeah. So that that's what was really catchy, and that was like 50% of what we heard was just sort of that beat. Like he was doing a little bit of rapping over it. He's good. He's really good. But I have my reservations with that. I don't think he should have chosen like a song.
He had a little dicky thing about him that I did like a lot.
Yeah.
I will say, I swear to you, I was going to say part of my decision if I gave it to him would be on the production of that thing. But if that's a recycled beat, that was a lot of it. That was awesome.
Yeah, but, and his rapping was good, but I feel like he wasn't.
We can't listen again, can we?
No, I think that should be the rules.
Okay.
I think it's very hard to judge someone's rapping on those 15 seconds. He also had a little thing in there where he was just kind of repeating the line, wasn't really rapping. Yeah. So it was like a little bit tough to judge.
But everybody knows. Everyone knows.
I liked him. He was good, you know, but we'll see. But like, it's Wild Plains round to take right now. All they got to really do is.
Oh, boy. Yeah, dude.
Yes, dude.
Yes.
I want them to win the competition.
Is this guy's a side project from Thunder from Down Under? God, these guys look like a Vegas fucking gay magic show.
They rule, dude.
I bet when they don't play music, they also do that thing where they like do acrobatics together. You know what I mean? Where like one holds the other one's hands while he does a sky handstand. You know what I'm talking about?
I know. Yeah.
They lean back and hold on to each other.
And then they're looking at each other in the eyes.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Wild Plains, everybody. Wow. But by the way, it is theirs to win still because they're very interesting looking. Something tells me they take their music serious as shit.
Dude, this song has to suck so much dick for them not to go through because I want to watch these guys win everything they do.
Wild Plains is an American rock band. I did not see that coming.
Nope.
Based out of New York, consisting of lead singer guitarist Chris Carmelo and drummer Andre Jevnik. That's the guy on the left, I think. Together, they bring down the house, having an insatiable appetite to rock. They love putting on a show, bringing people together and making an experience in what flies Wild Plains.
Hell yeah.
Formation of Wild Plains is
like
a very
wild stallion
story. And then it goes on and on, the story. I'll read it.
It's long.
I know.
It is the rule that we have to read the bio.
In short, through many fortunate and unfortunate events, Chris Carmelo and Andre Jevnik formed this band, meeting at community college and acting class. Clearly, they weren't meant to be movie stars, but rather rock stars. After writing some songs together, playing local acoustic shows, they figured, let's make this bigger and better. After having different lineup changes throughout their five-year history, the band managed to support CeeLo Green, Kix, Climax Blues Band, and many others. Their resume of festivals across America arcs from legendary Sturgis to Rocklahoma and Pride Fest to many local events. They were featured on Good Morning America Dressing Room Reveal with meteorologist Ginger Z, as well as various radio stations and multiple interviews at their favorite 96.7 Pocono FM in Pennsylvania. Currently, the boys have added a fine new bass player to the mix, writing new music and getting the show on the road for 2023. A few show dates will be added, where new songs will be battle tested and released before the year is up. Through the thick and thin, Wild Plains represents power, passion, and sheer will to break through, not just in the music industry, but rock and roll itself.
Yes, you guys are epic. They're epic.
Quote, you guys are the Duran Duran of our time, said Don Jameson of That Metal Show in SiriusXM.
If you guys get through this round, I want Don Jameson's quote about you out of your bio, and you got to put one of our quotes in it.
Yes. There's another quote. There is no
Jay's thing about
reason.
How you probably do acrobatics.
Yeah. You guys probably do foreign Bulgarian acrobatics. There's no plausible reason why within the next year this band cannot be international stars, said Total Order Magazine.
Look at that. Before even hearing their music, Jay Oakerson said, these guys probably do international acrobatics.
Their first song is called Money. 1 minute in for 15 seconds, Wild Plains. Yeah, that was fun.
That was great. This year's, man, I was not prepared for how much better the bands were going to be than they've ever been before.
We've grown tremendously since we've done this bit.
Yeah, it's really a whole different thing now. They were great.
I'm putting them through, obviously.
I'll tell you right now, the winner of Badass Metal of the Bands may very well perform at Skankfest because they're all great. I was just concerned with somebody sucking winning.
And then there's no way someone who sucks is going to win this year.
No, they're
just
all
from the
so
first
far.
Eight. Just from the first eight.
And again, just in the fact that that's their own production stuff. And I said, well, he was very good. Sammy Paradise, right? Yeah. Very good. Talented guy. But yeah, that was... I mean, I got to hear more of that.
The other thing is you're dealing with a racist podcast. Like, no offense to hip hop, but the reality is, like, I just always have and always will respect four or five white guys that can get together and they tune their instruments and then they start playing them together.
Those much people don't have to be white, also.
Even the yeah. best guy, you
no,
know,
look,
what I'm
as much
though,
as I,
even
as
the
much
best
as
guy
respect-
that can fucking flow the best and can rap really well, no matter how good he does it, I just weirdly respect five guys playing in unison original songs that they wrote much more. So you have to be such a good rapper yeah. to get through against a really good band.
As
yeah.
much as I love a white guy going into hip hop and stealing the black man's culture and appropriating it and making money off it himself, there still is. I get what Lewis is saying. There's something about, like, when it's a competition where you're like, oh, these are like five guys who like learned how to play instruments and like came together to put a song together. Like, I respect being a good rapper, but it's hard. You really gotta like,
if you
really...
play the guitar, if you play the guitar decent, I think you're better than the best DJ at town.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and look, I have a ton of respect for great rappers. Like, dude, I'm such a fan of good hip hop. And Crack Amico, by the way, Crack Amico could have entered this competition and possibly won it, right? Because he's writing songs about us. So it would have like tickled our fucking fancy. And it would have been like, I think there was a way to do
he's
that.
Good, man. Sort of, he's talented.
And he's so fucking talented. And his flow is good. His production is good. So you'd have to really hit it in such a, you'd have to knock it out of the park in such a big way. Not saying that no rappers are going to get through, but they got to really stand above the rest of production.
It's also, we should have a music video round in this one, because I bet these bands are so up there. I bet they have music videos.
I'd also say that I think the first round is the hardest round for a rapper.
Yeah.
Because you at least get a taste of the song, but like with a rapper, it's very hard to judge off 15 seconds.
It's tough. It was tough. Look, I think we agree, right? Wild Plains is moving through, and they're great. I mean, so good. So next week, next week we're gonna
finish round one.
Next round will be Godbox versus Spaceman, Until Now versus One Eyed Moon, The Infamous versus Prime and PM, The Fulcrum versus Far Wild. Wow. That'll be on next week's show. And yeah, congratulations, everybody that moved on. Let me read the names of everyone who moved on now again. We got Mercy Mine, Wyatt Olney in the Wreckage, Violet Knight, and of course, Wild Plains. We'll see you guys in the next round, and we'll see you guys Monday live from the stands. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
A lazy-eyed albino.
Cry for me. Come on. Cry.
I'm a shepherd of shitheads.
Luis Gomez.
Luis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Luis J. Gomez.
If you look at me, I'm going to break your fucking jaw. I want to punch you in your fucking nose. May I punch up my magic in his fucking head.
And comedian Dave Smith.
Fuck you, I ain't got jokes.
I feel like if I wanted to be gay...
Fucking stick your fist up your ass. You have lube?
The Legion of Skanks podcast.
Yo, ding dong, we're done here. Time to go.